Good morning and greetings. It's good to see so many here. It's a blessing to again be at this event. Meetings. So I've attended a lot of meetings. I don't believe I've ever spoken in regards to how to hold productive and effective meetings, but you know, I enjoyed preparing for this topic. I trust you'll enjoy going through this with me. We could paraphrase the title to simply be productive meetings. There's a lot of meetings that are not board meetings, school meetings, but for this audience, we'll largely refer to board meetings and the dynamics that happen there. I'm going to do a little survey before we begin. There's no yes or no answer. There's no right or wrong answer. But I want you to vote exactly what your first impression is when I give you the question. Don't think about it, just vote the way you, your first impulse. So raise your hand if you enjoy going to meetings. All right, that's positive. I didn't know how this would look. It's quite positive. Certainly not 100%, but it's positive. Sometimes meetings have got a bad rap for being a waste of time, and we want to look at some of that. You know, I know there's many different meetings for many different reasons, but most meetings, many of the same conditions exist in every meeting. Either the meeting is called to engage one or more person for tactical and problem solving, or for strategic and forward planning. I believe that every meeting could be grouped into that, into one of those two categories. However, most meetings have a mix of both. Most meetings have a mix of both, okay? Tactical and problem solving, or strategic and forward planning. Many have a mix of both. Now, I can honestly say that I enjoy meetings. I look forward to meetings. I enjoy engaging people in conversation that matters to them. There's a rewarding feeling that comes from being a part of a group of minds that has the ability to take even a contentious and difficult question, discuss it, turn it inside out, dump it upside down, recount history, draw from parallels, and in the end, turn it into a positive and united action that will bless others. There's kind of a rewarding feeling that comes from being able to do that as a group. Meetings wear me out, and you know they should. They're hard work. Most of them are. Some of us spend more time in meetings than others. I know that. For me personally, that number's about 30% of my working day. So what that means to me is meetings matter to me. You know, it's I wasn't sure, so I checked my calendar, and it's about 30% of the time I sit in meetings. So meetings matter to me. I care a lot about exactly how I prepare for meetings and whether I am leading them or not. I care a lot about how I prepare for them, especially if I'm called to lead meetings. I care a lot about how I do that. And then the follow-up after. Meetings are biblical. There's a verse in Proverbs, that's Proverbs 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, have you ever... Well, let me describe something. There have been times when I went to a meeting, and picture a board meeting, I went to a meeting. The agenda was prepared and it was published. I was ready. I had an opinion on a certain matter, and I was going to the meeting basically to help others see it my way. I've done that. I confess. I've done that. I don't know if that sounds familiar to you or not. Now, as I went to the meeting and as the discussion progressed, I became less and less sure of my stance on the subject. And in the end, I actually voted against my own opinion. And I don't know if that's happened to you. It's happened to me. It's okay. That's why I think this verse in Proverbs is so powerful. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Do not shy away from meetings. Meetings can be messy, but this is the biblical way of finding our way in difficult questions. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. All right, I'm going to walk through four areas that relate to meetings. We're going to look at the preparation, first of all, then we're going to look at the format and the setting, and the engagement, and finally some of the conclusions. We will not spend equal time in each of these aspects, however, we'll try to touch all points. Preparation. And I'm possibly going to pause and seek some input from you as an audience. It's a fairly large workshop. So if you have some thoughts, I'm going to invite those that I'm going to try and give time for those. Now, what I do to prepare for a meeting, whether I am called to lead the meeting or not, it doesn't really matter. If it's an important meeting, and most meetings are, if they're not important, you probably shouldn't be going to them, because that'll be a waste of your time. But if it's an important meeting, you should go to it, and you should prepare for it, whether you need to lead it or not. What I do is, and I'm pretty consistent with this, I will carve out time on my schedule to have a meeting with myself. I'll literally put it on my calendar to meet with myself to prepare for the meeting. I will do that, whether it's a school board meeting or whether it's a meeting at work. When I'm scheduling my calendar, some of you may not do this, some of you may not run calendars the way I do, but I will slice out a block of time to prepare myself. I'll read the past minutes. You should do that. If it's a meeting that has minutes, you should read them. At least one back, maybe two. And when you meet with yourself, or whether when you're preparing, however you do it, you should look at the items, especially in the minutes from the past. You should look at assignments that you were maybe assigned in a past meeting, and be sure you're prepared. Look at those. Read those over. If you haven't done anything about it, do your homework. Read and ponder the agenda if your meeting has one. School board meetings should. Now, if I'm the chairman of the meeting, if you're the chairman of the meeting, school board meeting, it's your job to develop the agenda, and you should be working on this. What are some things surrounding the agenda, the preparation? One thing you should do is send out a reminder message to ensure that all members have the meeting on their calendars. You want to maximize the attendance. You want everybody to come, and forbid it that there's miscommunication or failure to put that meeting in their calendar, that they miss it simply because they weren't reminded. Clearly communicate the location and the time. Make sure everyone is on the same page. Be sure to send out, when you do that, I use email a lot. When you do that, if you're the chairman, attach the agenda, attach the previous meeting minutes. And as you do that, the agenda, either in the agenda or in the body of your email, really call out people that you know were assigned tasks from the last meeting. Call them out. Call them out by name. You know, we're looking for a report from Brother Eli. You know, we assigned that to him at the last meeting. That's an agenda item. We're looking for that from him. So that you don't get to the meeting and Eli's, you know, shriveling up. I know you wouldn't, but you know what I mean. You're the chairman. It's your job to call these people out. Now the agenda. How does the agenda look? What does the agenda actually look like? And I realize there's more than one way to do this. I'm simply going to kind of expose my own methods, and you need to decide whether there's something there for you or not. Some things to remember on agendas. List all the reports that you expect to be prepared and shared at the meeting. Assign the reports to the members that are responsible. Kind of talked about this. Ideally, call them out on the agenda so it is very clear who is responsible for what. List all the agenda items that were left over from the last meeting. Maybe we had an item on the agenda from the last meeting, a month ago, 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, that hasn't been addressed. Bring it back. Put it back on so that you as a group can dispose of it. Don't just assume to leave it in the dust. List items that are seasonal and require attention, annual attention, like the school picnic. List those. Those are seasonal. You don't talk about the picnic in September. You talk about it, you know, as spring starts coming. List those. If there are items that require discussion, however, do not require a decision, be clear about that on the agenda. It is your responsibility to set the expectation on what the items will need to be concluded with. Is it a decision? Do we need to leave this meeting with a decision? Or is this discussion only? Set the expectations so that when you go in, people kind of know, the other members know what we're leaving with. Set the expectation. It's your job as a chairman. Be careful not to impose your agenda on the agenda. I'm not going to enlarge too much on that, but I've been tempted to do that. I'm sometimes tempted to do that in my work. Be careful not to impose your personal agenda on the agenda. Solicit agenda items from other members of the board. You can do this in your reminder message or at the beginning of the meeting, or both. Seek input from the others when you're building this agenda. As a chairman, you're preparing for this meeting. You're driving it. Pick the setting that will maximize potential and minimize distractions. Pick the best time of day or the day of week for your particular meeting. You know, there's not a right or a wrong way to do this. At Pathfinder, we have made it a habit to have board meetings the first Monday night of every month. And so we get that on our calendars, and that's kind of worked for us. But as a chairman, you need to be alert of the surrounding pressures and then possibly alter the normal practice. If you're going to alter it too far, maybe, you know, seek input. But you need to be aware of this. And sometimes there's no right or wrong here. There's just sometimes you need to alter the practice. All right. 2 or 1 minute. What do you do to prepare for meetings? Some really quick thoughts. What do you do? Something that I haven't mentioned that the rest of us could benefit from. Prayer. Prayer. Excellent. Anything else? Okay, we're going to move on to format and setting. How should meetings be formatted, and what setting will maximize their potential to be the best and most efficient use of time? Meetings should be prompt. It is the chairman's responsibility to ensure that the meetings start on time and everyone is comfortable, and that each member has a copy of the handout material if there is any. It's your job. to make sure that everyone is comfortable, has a chair, and the setting is good. In the school setting, and at Pathfinder, I speak for Pathfinder, we always begin our meetings with a short devotional and prayer. This sets the tone for our meetings. We don't have a 15-minute devotional generally. It's often more like a 5-minute and a prayer, and that I've really enjoyed that. Some nuggets that start us, some nuggets, and I've enjoyed that. The prayer at the meeting, if there's a special item on the agenda, sort of a weighty one, maybe a hot potato, and just put some special prayer into that. That can set the tone and help us. Just a word on dress code. This is specifically to board meetings. Be formal about your formal meetings. I believe this. I have observed this. I'm not very old, but I've observed this. If we allow that to slip at our board meetings to a casual or, you know, people coming in their work clothes, the meetings also kind of veer that direction. If you bring it back, wear formal attire. I know formal means different things for different people, but my encouragement is to go with the formal route, and your meetings will be more formal and respectful because of it. Now, a couple details surrounding the setting. I know our schools have different settings, and you know, we meet in classrooms. Sometimes the classrooms are the biggest rooms, and we do things to try and make a meeting environment work. My preference is a table where everyone can see each other. My preference is a table, sitting around a table where everyone can see each other. Don't sit in a pew style like this where someone behind you, you know what I mean, can be talking and you can't see them. That's not a good setting. Sit at a table if you can. The room size should be chosen to match the group. So if you have a huge room and a 4-man meeting, it works. But room size actually matters. You know, pick the room size to kind of fit the group. And don't go too small for a large group. You know, try and match the room size to the group. Regarding the table again, my preference, and I've observed this more in the business world, but my preference is an oval table. If you can pick, not round, not square, but kind of an oval shape, that's the best for board meetings, for meetings, because more people can see each other's faces and it just works. There's actually a reason that boardroom tables are oval, and it works. The chair, like no one else, is responsible to maintain alertness and composure throughout the meeting. He needs to ensure he places himself strategically so he can see every face on the board very well. The chair needs to be very conscious of this. I've been at meetings where the secretary takes notes in real time on laptop, and these are good things where the notes are projected. I sometimes wonder if that's more of a distraction than it's an asset. I've also seen that where it works really, really well. At work, we do a lot of video conferencing. We have people in other locations. So we do video conferencing. And the one meeting we do, the remote person actually takes the notes and puts them on the screen. So that's his contribution to the meeting, and it works extremely well. It just works really well. We've really come to kind of enjoy that. He does the meeting minutes, he projects them, but he's actually remote. In our board meetings, you need to decide what works for you on that, whether you post them real time or not. End time, not all meetings will necessarily have an absolute end time carved in stone. It is, however, healthy for the chairman to have a target end time and to be clear with the group what that is. I would suggest that the chairman make that, you know, take 30 seconds at the beginning of the meeting and set that. If you don't have a set end time, like lunchtime or whatever, take 30 seconds and say, okay, can we commit to 10:30? That'll help the chairman kind of stage the discussion. All right. The agenda, back to the agenda. So you're in the meeting and you're walking through this agenda. The chairman has this agenda. It's itemized. Maybe there's 8 items in the agenda. Should the chairman, should you address them just top to bottom as they're given? What do you think? Yes, no, maybe so. I don't feel that you necessarily, it's your responsibility as a chairman to decide what order you take them in. My preference is to to take 30 seconds at the beginning of the meeting and say, all right, which ones should we do first? Which ones are the most important? Understanding that we have an end time, if we run out of time, which one of these can drop off? Take 30 seconds, do that at the beginning of the meeting, and it just works. That's a gesture to all the attendees. Agree on it before you start. What is most important and why? This can bring meaningful order to the meeting. All right. Anything else on the setting and the format that you'd like to share? 1 minute. Something you could teach me. Okay, we're going to move on to engagement. This is where the meat of the meeting is. This is where most of the hard work happens. The willingness of your team, committee, or board to engage in meaningful and respectful dialogue will greatly affect the outcome of the meeting. And remember, the outcome of the meeting will not only affect the men in the room, but the school staff, the students, the entire school community, the church, and future generations. The outcome of your meeting will ripple on and on and on and on. So remember that. The engagement is very critical. You have an obligation here. In the school, you are elected to this work, and it is your obligation to take it seriously. You know, the Bible parable of the talents comes to mind. That account where the good master gave some of his servants talents, some 5, some 2, some 1. And we are given these talents, and we're called to trade them in the marketplace of ideas and thoughts to generate return on the return for the kingdom work. As you choose to take your responsibility seriously, you will fully engage in meetings, for the sake of your own agenda or your own ego, however, and rather for the sake of the good master that has given you the talents. He's looking for a return on your talents. You're called to trade those in the marketplace of ideas and thought at meetings. When you're at meetings, think of it in that fashion. You're not just here to put in time. God is looking for a return on his investment. What are the rules of engagement? Understand that in meetings, we are called to tackle ideas, situations, behaviors, but never people. Ideas, situations, behaviors, but never people. You need to find clear and respectful words to communicate exactly how you feel. This is harder for some of us than others, but you need to find clear and respectful words to communicate exactly how you feel. No beating around the bush, no gaps, hoping others will sense how you feel, etc. Be crisp, be honest, and be clear with your thoughts. If everyone does that, meetings go well. Meetings go well. This is an obligation you have, and if this is hard work for you, then you need to work on this. To the chairman, if you have a, and this I'm going to make this comment more in general in meetings. I do a lot of meetings at work, so I pulled some thoughts from that world as well. Here's the point. If you're a chairman and you have and your organization has a vision statement or a goal, you should always open the meeting with that. You should over-communicate these goals and these vision statements. You should over-communicate. It's going to sound, if you're a leader and you're called to lead meetings, it's going to sound like you're repeating yourself. You're going to get tired of saying the same thing over and over and over again. But I've seen this work, and I'm going to give you an example. You know, I'm in my work, I'm part of a business that we purchased within the last 12 months, so I'm learning about this, and we kind of inherited a culture, and we don't have a vision statement. I'll just be honest, you know, it's an organization with people, but we don't really have, we inherited something that we hardly know where we're going. And so I said to the management team late last fall, I said, we need something that we can go through 2019 with. Just some crisp goal, something that we want to accomplish in 2019. And so we talked about this, and they came up with two things. They said, one of the goals, there's two things. For 2019, we want to strengthen relationships with our business partners and enhance the Wallenstein customer experience. So we wrote that down, and we communicate that. I start every meeting with that, no fail. And I have been blessed. Employees will pick that up, and decisions will go through that filter. It's like, will this decision contribute to that or take away from that? And I think our schools could do some of that. If you have a one-liner or two-liner or a vision statement, use it, recite it, over-communicate it in your meetings. As the chairman, you should preface every agenda item with a clear statement of what the desired outcome is. You should indicate where a decision needs to be reached or if this is simply discussion. We talked a bit about that, but as a chairman, and if you don't know, maybe determine that first as a group. How do yous feel? Do we need a decision on this tonight, or can this wait? So that as you walk through it, you know you're united on decision tonight, or no, this is discussion only. Share your own ideas, but don't be afraid to openly challenge your own thoughts as the conversation moves along. Also, be okay to challenge others' ideas. You can actually do this in a respectful and godly Christian manner. Remember, you are not assembled to simply agree with each other. You're obligated to challenge each other for the good of the cause, and in your case, the cause is the work of the school. You're obligated to challenge each other. This is why you're at this meeting. This is why you're at this meeting. You have an obligation. If you are a person that is quick to talk, be conscious of this and deliberately nudge others to speak. Do this deliberately. I sometimes talk too much at meetings, and I know it, and I try and, you know, be conscious of that and watch for people that haven't said something in a while. You could say things like, I haven't heard Joel say something in the last 10 minutes. I'd really like to hear how he feels about this before we make a decision. Say things like that. Don't just railroad decisions. Try and bring others in, those that are quieter. Be deliberate. Call them out by name. You can do this even if you're not the chairman. You're sitting there. You have an opinion. You have maybe a strong opinion, but seek to draw others out. The chairperson should be slower to share his own thoughts, but at the same time not hold back when the time is right. Decision The word decision implies the end of deliberation and the beginning of action. Now, for a fully researched, well-discussed, and fully supported decision to become reality, there will most likely be a messy period at a meeting where there's some conflict. For a decision to be reality, for a good decision to be reality, there's probably going to be a messy period somewhere in there where the conversation goes all over the place and there's some conflict. Healthy conflict at meetings is a good thing. Never shy away from conflict, because conflict often leads to clarity. I truly believe that. A little bit of conflict at meetings leads to clarity. For conflict to be, now there's some rules. For conflict to be effective, each member in the group will need to be completely honest, personally vulnerable, no ego, and high levels of humility. That's an important sentence right there. If you're going to have conflict, and you need to have conflict, you need to have conflict. No ego, personal vulnerability, complete honesty, and high levels of humility. Conflict is a display of passion, and passion leads to good decisions. You know, as Christians, sometimes we have a problem with this thing called conflict. We are trained to get along with everybody. And that's good. And we try to avoid conflict. But if we take this to the passive extreme, all we are is a social huddle, and we agree at all costs, and good decisions are hard to come by. Don't just be a social huddle and drink coffee. You can drink coffee, but that's not the purpose of the meeting. You have business, you have work. You've been called to make decisions, and there's going to be some conflict. And maximize that conflict. Now I have another point. Let me describe another dynamic that is real but is more difficult to talk about. I'm going to try and outline it and talk about it a little bit. This is not limited to school meetings, but it can happen at school meetings. Or other church meetings, or business meetings, or other nonprofit organizations you serve on. In this life, we have hierarchies and leadership and influence, yet at meetings, we like to make the pretense of a group decision. So we have these hierarchies of leadership and influence, and yet we go to meetings and we want to make a pretense of group decision, right? You're with me. So I'm not going to unpack that too far, but I'll say this. If you're at a meeting and you're self-aware enough to know that your voice, when you speak, your voice will likely carry the decision. You could pull out a trump card, if I may use that terminology, and you could make a decision. If you're aware of that, if you're self-aware of that, most likely those around you are hyper aware of this. And if you're aware of it, you will need to work extra hard to deflate any fear of sharing or shutting down discussion simply because you've shared your opinion. You need to work, if that's your position, you need to work hard so that the discussion doesn't shut down as soon as you share your opinion. This isn't necessarily wrong. This is just a dynamic that some meetings have. This is not a wrong thing. I'm not describing something that's necessarily sinful. I've been on both sides of that equation. I have. I'm not that old. But I've observed both sides of that. I've been frustrated on both sides of that. And I'm not a good puppet. I don't want to make puppets out of others. So just all I'm saying is be aware of this dynamic at meetings. Be aware of it and realize it. Don't need to necessarily talk about it. We're talking about it here. go to your meetings and kind of observe and think about when you place your opinions and how you do it. Now, if you didn't understand what I said in the last 3 minutes, then don't try and understand it. It doesn't apply to you, and that's fine. All right. What if there's an impasse? What if there's discussion? There's polarizing opinions. There's no clear right or wrong in the polarizing opinions, but there's an impasse. What should we do then? I'd like to hear your thoughts. How do you handle this? Go get some more coffee. Lauren?
Sometimes someone's holding back because they're not sure all the information's really on the table yet. Sometimes you can table it until the next meeting and they want to have someone check with this brother or that brother to try and get a clear opinion.
Sometimes not all the information's there. If it's not, maybe the chairman can say, look, it seems like we should delay this, but sometimes we shouldn't delay. What if we can't delay? What do we do then? What do you do? You're the chairman. How do you handle this? Both ways would be good, but we have opinionated people at the table. I'll tell you one thing that I've never literally done this, but I have spoken about it in a meeting that was, this is in a work setting. I'll describe it to you and then I'll tell you what I did. We never got to this point. The dialogue was personal. There was different departments represented. I was called to chair the meeting and I didn't know much about the discussion, really the technical aspects of the discussion, but there was a lot of turf, protecting turf going on, and everybody was passionate, which was good. I let that happen for a long time, a lot of whiteboarding, a lot of discussion, and there was kind of this impasse. And finally I said, so here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna give it another 10 minutes or so. If we can't come to a reasonable conclusion here, what we're going to do is, and there was about 5 or 6 men around the table, what we're going to do is we're all going to get up and you're all going to shift one chair to the right. And I want you to argue for the individual that you just filled his chair. You're now going to take his position. You're going to leave your position behind and you're going to take his position. There's a lot of smiles and a bit more coffee, and we never got there. It turned out really well. That's one way, because it just shakes things up a little bit. Any other ideas? Yes. Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that. Sometimes if it's kind of personal, this raising hands and putting your heads down doesn't really cut it. Go with a paper ballot. You know, you can do that, but paper ballots are effective. What else? Jonathan? So stop. Everyone prays. That's a good idea. What else? I like that one. All right. A couple more thoughts, then we'll open it up some more. Conclusions. What is a successful conclusion? Meetings always have an end. Ideally, they have a successful end. When you leave a meeting, there should be action items. There should be items that are on the action list. There should be decisions. Chairperson, here's a suggestion. Leave some time at the end to recap. Don't just go to the final agenda item, then leave. Leave a bit of space at the end to recap. All right, we talked about this. Who's going to do that? And start assigning. Your minutes should have names on them. There should be assignments. And be very specific. Leave some time at the end to summarize. Summarize key points, especially decisions. Possibly ask the secretary to reread the decisions exactly as he recorded them. This can be very important because secretaries have biases. And sometimes if it's not an actual motion and a vote, if it's just kind of a summary of a discussion and a kind of an agreement, you should ask the secretary to reread that exactly the way he has wrote it down, because that's official minutes. This helps to be sure that everyone understands the decision in the same way. If you don't have clarity leaving the meeting, you're soon going to be in defense mode. No clarity, you're very quickly going to be in defense mode. I will guarantee you. Make sure you have clarity when you leave the meeting. Here's the other thing. The communication piece. And I've learned some things on this. Some things the hard way. Communication after a meeting is extremely important. Take some time in the summary, after the summary, to discuss, okay, we agreed on this. Our secretary has reread the decision. Now, how are we going to communicate that? Who are we going to communicate it to? Exactly what form of communication are we going to use? When are we going to communicate? Is there some action items that need to be done before we can communicate? How will this communication affect the different players? Address the communication piece. You know, let's say we make, and to give you an example of this, let's say we make a decision at the board meetings that, you know, we have a problem at school where students are showing up an hour and a half or an hour before school, you know, and they're kind of playing at school and the teachers are saying, maybe the teachers aren't even there. So you're reestablishing policy that says, parents, we love your children and we want them at school, but we don't want them here before 20 minutes prior to starting time or whatever. So you've made this decision, you've reestablished policy. If you could make that decision and leave the meeting and the decision's made, it's in the minutes, but if you don't communicate it, that decision was pointless, right? It's pointless. So how are you going to communicate it? Who are you going to communicate it to? Who does it need to be communicated to first? Do you need to talk to the teachers first before you go to the parents? Are you going to call all the parents? Are you going to do a hotline? Are you going to do an email? How are you going to do this? Sometimes you need to call a meeting to bring all the parents in and communicate things. Sometimes you do, is that a 5-minute buzzer? So communication is key, extremely important. It's the last link of the chain. If this link is weak and breaks down, we lose momentum with the decisions and become less effective. Post-meeting communication is critical to the success of a meeting. You know, I've seen discussion light up when we get to this stage. We make decisions and then we talk about the communication and we begin to consider, okay, we need to communicate this. And new aspects of the thing come out. When we think about the rubber hitting the road and communicating this, new discussion starts. It's not necessarily bad, but you need to think about the communication. And that brings clarity. I have a concluding thought for you. And I quote from a book wrote by Patrick Lencioni. He's a business author. He wrote a book called The Advantage. And he made a statement in this book that has stuck with me and in a sense haunted me. And I'm going to give that to you. He has dedicated this book to detail why organizational health trumps everything else in business. Why does organizational health trump everything else in business? Patrick takes the entire book to discuss organizational health and what it looks like and how it comes to be, how an organization becomes healthy and stays healthy. Towards the end of the book, he says this, and I quote, "No action, activity, or process is more central to a healthy organization as the meeting. If someone were to offer me one simple piece of evidence to evaluate the health of an organization, I would not ask to see its financial statements, review its product line, or even talk to its employees or customers. I would want to share and observe its senior leadership team during a meeting. This is where values are established, discussed, and lived. This is where decisions around strategy and tactics are vetted, made, and reviewed. Bad meetings are the birthplace of unhealthy organizations, and good meetings are the origin of cohesion, clarity, and communication." I have come to truly believe this statement, not only in business, but also in school. Your school culture and organizational health is birthed right here in your meetings. Your culture starts here. Your culture starts here. Your organizational health starts here. Next time you head to a board meeting, pause and ask God to guide your meeting, because you know the outcome will have an eternal impact on the students in your school. Now, I'm going to open it up. What did I miss? What could you teach me? I'm hungry for new thoughts on this. I enjoyed pulling this together. What do you do? Talk to us about that.
Sometimes it helps to deflect the secretary's viewpoint.
Secretary can be biased. We at Pathfinder we use Dropbox for all of our kind of shared documents, and the minutes go in there, so even if I'm not the chairman, I'm reading the minutes prior to, so everybody has access to those prior to, but it's an interesting thought. It's a good thought. It's very valid. Anything else? Effective, productive meetings. How long is a meeting effective? I'll share my thought, then I'll turn it back to you. This is different for different meetings. In business, sometimes we do meetings all day, literally all day. They have different segments. We plan that way. It wears you out, but we plan to have, you know, it's a marathon, right? And you have breaks but it's literally all day. How long should a school board meeting be?
2.5 hours.
Two and a half hours. He gives us the time. Never after 11 o'clock, Eli says.
I strongly agree with that.
Strongly agree. Bring on the candies, don't worry about the bags. What else? Limit your meeting time to productive hours. Anything else before we wrap this up? Be considerate and aware. It's good wisdom. Yeah, I didn't go into that, and you remind me of how important that is. So while I advocate, I call it conflict. You can call it whatever you want. I advocate, and this is messy. I advocate this. You need to go there, and don't be afraid of it. But when a decision is reached, it's our decision. It's our decision. You communicate it that way. You never ever leave the board meeting and say, well, I voted this way. But don't ever do that. That undermines. So God bless you as you go back to your meetings. And I've enjoyed studying for this. God bless your meetings.